Over the weekend, talk show queen Oprah Winfrey launched the Oprah Winfrey Network, or OWN. The cable channel debuted with Winfrey introducing her lineup and telling audiences what they can expect. Famous for her afternoon talk show, Oprah Winfrey said the network will be a mix of inspirational programs that includes celebrities and plenty of reality TV. If you saw the channel debut, our phone number, 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org. You can also join the conversation at our website. Go to npr.org. Click on Talk of the Nation. Eric Deggans is TV and media critic for the St. Petersburg Times and joins us from a studio at the newspaper there. Nice to have you with us today. Happy New Year.
Thanks a lot. Good to be here.
And what'd you think?
I thought in terms of translating Oprah's brand to cable, I thought they did a pretty good job. It's interesting because I've been asked this a lot by people over the last few days, and asking how it went, there's almost sort of three questions kind of embedded in there. You know, the first is, did they actually get the shows on, which we saw? Mm-hmm. The second is, did they translate her brand to cable adequately? And then the third is it translated well enough that she will continue to dominate media the way she has with her syndicated show? And I think that third question is the one that everybody's kind of struggling to answer, in part because some of the biggest shows that are supposed to be on that channel haven't debuted yet and won't debut for months.
Because they're still in development?
Well, they have planned to roll them out sort of sprinkled throughout the year. We get the Duchess of York, Sarah Ferguson, I think sometime in February. We get Shania Twain in April. We get the Judds after that. We get Rosie O'Donnell in September. And Oprah, reinvents herself with a new show sometime late this year or early next.
Because her contract on her present talk show, I think, runs through September.
It runs through September. There'll be new episodes until May. And that's another question mark. You know, what happens with the syndicated show between May and September? In the normal scheme of things, there would be reruns in there. But, you know, if you're a TV station, do you really want to have, 3 months of Oprah reruns when you know the show's not coming back to new episodes?
And you're effectively promoting the competition.
There you go.
And so that will be interesting. Meanwhile, are they filming 24 hours a day?
No, not hardly. If you turned on the channel, for example, an hour before we started talking, you saw An Officer and a Gentleman. You saw that wonderful movie. There have been reruns of Dr. Phil in some of the I think the show is rerun maybe two or three times a day during the week. And there's repurposing. You know, they'll air a show in prime time and then they'll re-air it again. I mean, cable television loves to air new episodes of shows two or three times in a day or in a week. Mm-hmm. And they're doing that a fair amount on OWN as well.
And I wonder, one of the things that we learned about her magazine, was that when she was not on the cover, sales did not do so well. I wonder if the same thing is going to happen on the network. If she's not part of the program, is it going to do as well?
Well, I think you hit on something really interesting, which is that the magazine is almost a template for how the cable channel will unfold, I think. Everything has to have Oprah's imprimatur on it. It has to have her brand, and it has to feature, it has to be kind of drenched in her sensibility, but it doesn't necessarily have to be her physically there. And I think getting that balance of having enough Oprah so that Oprah fans feel like they're connecting to their idol, but not having so much that it feels a little tiresome. I think that is a balance that they're going to have to work with. And there's no danger of that in the early going because a lot of the shows Oprah does not appear in.
Mm-hmm. I've also read that one of the executives at the network said, this is, with the possible exception of the Disney Channel, the first network ever built around a single personality.
And the Disney Channel, even though the Disney name is one person's name, that Disney name stands for a bunch of things. It didn't stand for one man's efforts. It stood for a range of movies and media products. Oprah Winfrey is one person, and this network is built around her brand in a way that I don't think we've ever seen before. By the time the Disney Channel was brought to the fore, we had decades and decades of Disney mm-hmm. products out there to diversify that brand. Oprah Winfrey is a single woman who stands for a set of ideas, and she has built this entire cable channel around those ideas. And, you know, it's exciting to see someone who is a master of media take on what may be one of the biggest challenges of her career. Whether or not she'll actually pull it off is something we're all waiting to see.
And if she does or doesn't, is she the prime beneficiary? Is it her money that is primarily at risk?
Well, that's one of the things we don't know a whole lot about, because her company, Harpo Productions, is not a public company. So she only has to disclose as much as she wants to about what she's spending. We do know that the Discovery Channel has put up quite a lot of money. I've seen $189 million is what I've seen. And that's certainly a huge price tag. I don't think that necessarily includes the money they're spending to promote the channel. And I don't think that includes any money that Oprah Winfrey's companies are spending. And I will tell you, though, that Oprah is also a master at getting other companies to pay for things that she does. So I wouldn't be surprised if Discovery Channel's investment was a little higher than her own, at least in terms of cash.
Interesting email here from Cindy, who writes, she took over one of my favorite channels, Discovery Health. I will miss that channel. Don't care so much about Oprah, and I can take her and her experts or leave them. We got a tweet from Global Sultana. Synopsis, highbrow, female-focused combo of Bravo and WE. If my mom glued to OWN is any indication, should be a hit.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. In some ways, it's almost like when a new radio station takes over. You know, those of us who are old enough to remember back to the days of FM radio, when, you know, a new format would come in, they would play a certain song like 24 hours a day just to get all the old listeners to stop listening. And I think in a certain way, what we saw this weekend with a lot of preview shows and a heaping helping of Oprah kind of introducing her channel to the people who are going to watch it, that kind of happened over the weekend. A lot of people who maybe were used to Discovery Health suddenly discovered that they were getting a whole lot of Oprah in their face over the weekend, and they had to decide whether or not they were okay with that. Frankly, I got to think that even though there are some people out there who like Discovery Health, there are a whole lot more people who want to see Oprah Winfrey get control of a TV channel 24/7.
Now, the lesson from radio days is that the first reaction is the people who were listening to the old format will hate the new one because they were the ones actually listening to the new format. You have to wait a while to attract the new viewers and hopefully change that formula around. It works sometimes. Sometimes
yeah.
It doesn't.
Yeah, you can't. And certainly you can't judge the success of the enterprise by the reaction of the fans of the old format.
Yeah, let's get some callers in on the conversation. Our guest is Eric Deggans, who covers media and TV for the St. Petersburg Times. Diane's calling us from Charlotte.
Hi.
Hi, Diane. You're on the air.
Oh, hi. Good afternoon. I love NPR.
Thank you. What did you think of the Oprah Winfrey Network?
Oh, I thought it was great. I was glued to it. I couldn't get my eyes off of it. I had to go to bed because I've been off for a couple of weeks. And so she came on a Sunday. And I was watching the All-Stars, and that was great, excellent. It's to Oprah's, where she said she wanted to deliver. As far as I can see, she's delivered it. She's delivering it. Also, I can't wait for Gayle King's show.
And what's that to be about?
Say again?
What is that going to be about?
The Gayle King. Gayle King is Oprah Winfrey's best friend.
I can cut in and explain a little bit. Gayle King, is one of Oprah's closest friends, and they're going to be doing a TV show that is essentially a televised version of a radio show that she does on Sirius XM. It's not going to be like what we've seen with Don Imus and some of these other guys where they're wearing the big clunky headphones and in front of microphones. It's going to be designed for a television audience, but I am to understand that it will be simulcast, that it will what you see, you will hear an audio version of that on Sirius XM.
And some of us have no problems with clunky headphones and big microphones.
not to insult the good folks at NPR.
Diane, thanks very much for the call. Appreciate it.
Thank you for the time. Bye-bye.
Let's go next to, this is Ann. Ann with us from Panama City.
Hey.
Hi, go ahead, Ann. Hi. You're on the air.
Hi, thank you. Thanks for taking my call. I switched back and forth all weekend, flipping, to see if there's something that's going to pique my interest or hold my interest, but unfortunately, previews of shows coming up. I mean, in the interim, they should have had shows coming up and then something of interest and then maybe shows coming up. You know, there was just like too much shows coming up.
I see. So not enough meat there on the bone yet.
No, unfortunately. And it was like I felt bad that everybody was like struggling to entice you to listen, you know, or watch the program. But there was nothing there. And, you know, spent 2 days thinking, okay, Oprah, I'm going to give you a chance now. But it just didn't work.
Are you a fan of the syndicated show?
Oh, yeah. I do watch it. I'm a working lady, so I don't always get a chance to watch it. But if I do, you know, if I'm home, I do watch it. And, of course, I absolutely love NPR radio. No. It's my favorite, so I guess I'm a little biased.
And thanks very much for the call. We appreciate the kind words as well.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Yeah, that speaks to something that I wondered about when I looked at the rollout schedule for the Oprah Winfrey Network. They seem to have very deliberately kind of held back a lot of the bigger, more publicized shows that will be coming. And in this first week and in this first month, there's not a lot of sort of high-profile shows right when the world is kind of paying attention. And, you know, I'm thinking they probably want to get the hang of this new network. They want to see how much Oprah they need to have, how the regular shows hang together. But at some point, they've got to deliver that real shot of Oprah, you know, the Judds, Ryan and Tatum O'Neill, Rosie O'Donnell, some of her really big celebrity pals. We won't see them until 6 months down the road or even longer. And I wonder if viewers won't lose patience by then.
Eric Deggans of the St. Petersburg Times. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And Eric, I wonder, who do they see as their competition?
I would imagine their competition would be every other cable channel, especially those that target female viewers, especially those that target middle class and wealthy middle-aged female viewers. I mean, that is Oprah's sweet spot. And so she's up against the Wees of the world, the Oxygens of the world, the Lifetimes of the world. She's trying to draw what she's essentially trying to do. She's had this technique, this strategy for many years now, where she will develop different media platforms and use the syndicated show that's incredibly popular to drive her fans to those platforms. So she develops a magazine, and then she talks about the magazine on the TV show, and then all of a sudden people start buying mm-hmm. the magazine. And now what she's trying to do is essentially transplant that feeder mechanism. She's trying to turn the cable channel into the thing that everybody, that will congregate her fans, that will concentrate her fans, and then she can use that cable channel to again sort of maintain her media empire. What I wonder will happen, and the big question is, can she maintain her relevance as a pop culture icon when she's in the world of cable television? I mean, we're used to watching cable channels, and some people don't even distinguish between broadcast and cable, but broadcast still has a little greater reach than cable. And in some systems, you know, the Discovery Health channel is kind of up there in the numbers. So that will be Oprah's challenge, is to maintain her visibility, her presence, her power in the mainstream when she moves to cable television.
Well, let's go next to Judy, and Judy's on the line with us from Sunnyvale in California.
Hi. I really disagree with one of the callers. I think her name was Anne, because although I'm a fan of Oprah and her show, I'm not an extreme fan. I don't watch it all the time. But I was really impressed with the shows that came on. I watched at least five of them, I think, and they were all excellent. Enough Already, In the Bedroom with Laura Berman, Oprah's Backstage. I thought that I wasn't even going to be interested in that, and it was fabulous.
So you saw enough meat and you enjoyed it. I wonder, Judy, what did you make of the there's a lot of attention and care devoted to what are called in the trade bumpers, the way they identify the network, the trademark, if you will, the logos. What did you think of that?
The trademark and the logos?
Yeah, when they come on and say, this is the Oprah Winfrey Network, what does it look like?
Well, I have to be honest, I record almost all of the shows that I watch.
I see. So you must have missed those because you set your VCR or your
right,
DVR.
Right, DVR. I'll record them and then watch them and actually go through the commercials.
Well, you know, I will say what's interesting about Oprah, too, though, is that she has a way of sort of melding the promotional messages and the actual content of her media platforms. So when you read the magazine, for example, sometimes it's hard to distinguish between something that's a promotional message featuring Oprah and something that's actual content in the magazine. And I think they've done that a little bit in the television show, the cable TV version as well. There are some presentations that are clearly sort of promotional bits for shows that are to come or shows mm-hmm. that may come later that day. And I wouldn't be surprised if your caller saw some of those things and maybe didn't perceive them as bumpers or as these really technical things that we're talking about. And I also wanted to point out when she said enough already, she was actually talking about a show. She wasn't just...
That was not a remark. Yes.
She wasn't just delivering the smackdown to the earlier caller.
Judy,
no,
thank
you. All of these are shows that I watched, and they're shows that are actually going to be on immediately.
Well, Judy, thanks very much for the call. Appreciate the differing viewpoint.
Thank you.
And so it sounds, Eric Deggans, as if we're probably going to be waiting 6 months or a year to have this conversation in earnest.
And again, you know, there's going to be different levels of success. I mean, I think we've learned from these callers that Oprah's fans, people who already like what she does on television, are probably going to be pretty happy with this cable channel. The question is, can she maintain her power to the point where she affects people who are not part of her orbit already?
Eric Deggans, St. Petersburg Times TV and media critic, thanks very much for your time.
Thank you.
Before we go today, we have to say goodbye to one of our own. Producer Dahlia Martinez decided to flee the D.C. winters for her roots in sunny Southern California. Maybe not so sunny today. Today's her final day at NPR for now. She will be missed. When you tuned in to one of our frequent conversations about the wars in Iraq or Afghanistan or about military life, it was often as a result of Dahlia's work. She produced our last segment today, Hard at Work to the End. She never missed a deadline, always came in with good ideas, and she knows how to get a laugh, even if you didn't always hear that on the radio. Thanks, Dahlia. This is NPR News.